The Trump presidential transition continues to cause controversy and a sense of uneasiness among some Americans. From dicey cabinet appointments to the appearance of conflicts of interest with Trump's international business dealings and reports of white nationalists claiming Trump's victory as their own. KCSB's Hector Sanchez Castaneda spoke with John J. Pitney, professor of government at Claremont McKenna College in Claremont, to get insight on the U.S. presidential transition.
White nationalists appear to be embracing the Trump presidency. And following the election, the alt-right movement has been in the news. Trump recently appointed Steve Bannon, former executive chair of Breitbart News, as chief White House strategist. What is white nationalism, and why is this group so attracted to Donald Trump?
Well, it's a broad term that ranges from everybody like neo-Nazis, outright deliberate and overt racist, to those whose commitment to white nationalism is more subtle, more guarded, and more cloaked in euphemism. There was recently a meeting in Washington, D.C., of the former group, and some of them raised their arms in a Nazi salute and spoke in German.
Right.
That clearly is a dangerous subset of the alt-right or white nationalist movement, and Trump himself went out of his way today to denounce them and separate himself from them. But there are others in other realms of that movement who are less easily pigeonholed with the Nazi cause. In the case of Steve Bannon, he helmed Breitbart. .com, which ran some very questionable stories and traded in innuendo and some racially charged language. Although Bannon himself doesn't claim to be a white nationalist. So it's a broad range of people, but what they have in common is they see that Trump is different from the run-of-the-mill of American politics, somebody who is very skeptical about immigration, wants to build a wall, has said very nasty things about undocumented aliens, and they all see that as an encouraging sign, and the rest of us should, of course, see it as a disturbing sign.
So the New York Times wrote a piece over the weekend arguing that Trump would be our first independent president and explained how it did it by hijacking the GOP and taking down the political dynasties of the Bush and the Clintons. Do you think Donald Trump is a Republican, or do you think he actually is the first independent president?
I'm not sure Trump has any beliefs at all, except maybe trade protectionism. Donald Trump will do whatever is in the interest of Donald Trump. And in this election, the Republican Party provided him with a convenient vehicle to aggrandize himself and get political power. But if you look at the positions he's taken on trade protectionism, on Russia, and a variety of other issues, it's clear that he is not in the tradition of the Republican Party, at least as we've seen it in recent decades. The question is whether he will bend other Republicans to that point of view. That's very much up in the air right now. Republicans on Capitol Hill are saying nice things about him, and he may well be able to make some progress in the early days of 2017. The real fight, the real struggle that will happen within the Republican Party is whether Trumpism will prevail or whether all other elements of the party will push back.
I see. So right now it's just like a honeymoon stage once Trump is...
That's right. And that honeymoon could last quite a while, at least within the party. One, Trump is popular with a Republican base. Second, with the presidency, he has enormous power. Add that to his wealth and his well-known tendency to keep lists of enemies. I think a lot of Republicans on Capitol Hill, frankly, would be afraid to cross him right now. If his popularity should decline, that will be another issue. But for the time being, Trump is the face of the Republican Party.
Donald Trump has business interests all over the world. This is a first for sitting president, and the idea of conflict of interest has come up. Whether it's his children who are supposed to run his companies, sitting in on meeting with world leaders like the Japanese Prime Minister. Do you think this is going to clear up, or will something have to give? Because just today, Donald Trump had his meeting with the New York Times, and he said that he could, quote-unquote, theoretically run the perfect business and run the perfect country. And he also said that the conflict of interest laws don't apply to him because he's president. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, in a technical and legal sense, he might be right specifically about conflict of interest laws. As far as employment of relatives on the White House staff, there's a pretty good legal case that he can't do that. Nevertheless, he can bring them on board as informal advisors or members of advisory committees. And other presidents have done that in the past. However, what's unprecedented here is the potential for vast conflicts of interest, both Trump's own dealings and the dealings of his adult children. That could lead to scandal. In fact, it probably will lead to scandal because, among other things, if foreign interests are involved, there's a real possibility of violating the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, which forbids a president to take gifts or things of value from foreign countries. So this is a really bad situation. To put it very bluntly, it stinks to high heaven, and it's going to cause real problems for Trump going forward.
His latest cabinet nominees have include Jeff Sessions for Attorney General, Michael Flynn, and Mike Pompeo. What do you think about Donald Trump's recent picks for his cabinet?
Well, it's a mixed bag. Start with Pompeo, who is certainly well-qualified. He was first in his class at West Point, Harvard Law degree. Very knowledgeable about intelligence issues. The question there is whether he is too partisan to be CIA director. We found in the past that having a real hard-charging partisan is not necessarily the best situation for that agency. In the case of Mike Flynn, very, very troubling. He has overtly denied that Islam is even a religion. And right from the start, having someone like that so close to the president jeopardizes our relationships with so many countries around the world. He doesn't seem to be a person of particularly good judgment. And for him to be advising the president on issues such as nuclear weapons is very disturbing. In the case of Jeff Sessions, kind of a mixed record. There were accusations when he was up for a federal judgeship in 1986 that he'd used racially charged language. We have not seen accusations like that in the 30 years since. Other senators, even those who disagree with him, attest to his character. He takes very conservative positions on issues. But unless his opponents can find more recent cases where he used language as he used in the past, or in case there, unless there is some scandal that has yet come to light, he's probably going to win Senate confirmation.
In your book, The Politics of Autism, Navigating the Contested Spectrum, you explore autism and all its aspects in government, life, education. During the primaries, Donald Trump hinted that vaccines could be correlated with autism. How do you foresee a Donald Trump presidency affecting public policy with autism?
The early signs are very bad. Not only did he make public statements linking vaccines to autism, a totally discredited idea, but we now know that during the summer he met with some leading vaccine activists, including the infamous Andrew Wakefield, whose fraudulent article started much of the conspiracy theory surrounding autism. He met with Wakefield, said he would view the video that he put together. So that by itself is a very negative sign. Watch his appointments to office, who he appoints to the Department of Health and Human Services and other health-related agencies. But to have someone like Trump in the White House who has advocated the vaccine theory is dangerous because it may encourage some parents to delay or forgo vaccinations of their children. And that in turn could lead to those children getting vaccine-preventable diseases. So that alone is reason to be very, very concerned about a Trump presidency.
And our last question here. Vice President-elect Mike Pence is currently Indiana's current governor. Yeah, he's known for his tough stance on abortion and gays. He's reportedly supported federal funding for gay conversion when he was running for Congress in 2000. How do you foresee Mike Pence's vice presidency in the near future?
Well, this is definitely an odd couple because in his personal life, Trump has been notably tolerant of gays, and during the campaign, his rhetoric was very insulting to many other groups, but not so much gay people. As you point out, Pence's record is a source of a great deal of concern to gay rights activists. So we'll see who actually has the most influential areas of social policy. If Trump is calling the shots, then it goes in one direction. But if he delegates that whole field to Pence, then the issue could go in a very different direction. That remains to be seen. We just don't know how hands-on a manager Trump will be, how much he will try to run out of the White House, and how much he will delegate both to Pence and to the cabinet. And again, a lot of this will depend on his appointments to various offices. Is he going to appoint Pence to people like Pence to other jobs, or is he going to cast a broader net? And we'll have a much better sense of that within the next few weeks.
That was John J. Pitney, professor of government at Claremont McKenna College and author of The Politics of Autism. He spoke with KCSB's Hector Sanchez Castañeda about the U.S. presidential transition.